Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll take them and find your place in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we think tonight for a few minutes together, can you imagine Paul the Apostle as he's seen that vision of the man of Macedonia, a man from Europe, calling him to come over and help. He believes this is God's will, and they begin to move, they begin to move to Europe and share the gospel. And the Thessalonian church was one of the early churches, and probably 1 Thessalonians is, if not the earliest, one of the earliest letters of Paul the Apostle. The majority of these people were not Jewish. They come from a completely pagan background. All kinds of gods and myths filled their minds. They were ignorant of the ways of God, but they heard the gospel and they followed Jesus. What would you say when you were seeking to train those kind of people in what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus and to be a Christian? Well, the latter part of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul seeks to do that. He talks about Christian character. I'm going to do my best tonight. I'm not able to. I'll try not to have you clearing your throat for me. I'll do the best I can. So if I get into this and I can't finish it, thank goodness we got a business meeting and we don't have a lot to do tonight. I hope you hear the preacher tonight. Hope you're in a good mood. But anyway, I'm going to do my best, so forgive me if I'm not at my best with you. I'd like for us to read in 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse number 12, and just look at these words, and then we're going to pause over the next few times as we finish the year. I don't have a lot of opportunities. We have a lot of good things going on that happen at the year end around all of our ministries, and we'll be doing a lot of things. So on the nights that I'll be able to speak to you between now and the end of the year, I want to talk to you about the thankful life. We of all people should show thanks. Should be thankful people. And so what we find Paul doing here, think about it, if you had your chance, you have this group of recently saved pagans, with all the things that go with that, coming from all kinds of experiences and all the rest, what would you say to them to help them understand what it means to live like a Christian? Well, look what Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil, for evil. And then I want you to notice these words about what you do all the time. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the standard that you give us here in this wonderful letter of Paul the Apostle. We thank you, Lord, for his ministry life. We thank you for his example, his courage, his durability, his faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you could use him in spite of his sin and his weaknesses, and we thank you that you can do the same with us. And so as a church, we come tonight to ask that you'd help us understand some of the things that you ask us to always do. And may the Holy Spirit help us to understand the importance of always living in a way that would honor Jesus, encourage the brethren, and point others to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank you for this good day we've had. We thank you for all of our people who have been here today. We pray for those who cannot be with us because they're sick or traveling or for other purposes or reasons. We pray that you might bless them. We thank you for being our friend. We thank you that you want our friendship to grow. May we seek to follow you closer than we ever have day by day and put aside those things which disappoint you when we behave in those ways. May we honor you with our lives, whatever days we have. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So I want you to see these words always. Well, that's a big challenge, isn't it? Always is always. Always means you never stop. Always means these things go on in the morning, they go on at noon, they go on at night. Always. So again, let's go back to verse number 15, the latter part of the phrase, always seek after that which is good for one another. Always. Always seek after that which is good for one another. Notice that's in the church, but then outside the church. Always. Always seek after that which is good for one another in the church and for all people. So it is this beautiful picture of seeking that which is good. What's good for somebody? When you meet them at work and you ask yourself the question, you know they're facing some circumstance. What's something good that you can do for that person? Seeking good. Seeking after that which is good. A good word. A good deed. These are the things that the Lord challenges us through Paul to do. To always seek after that which is good, not just for one another here in our church, for all of us that we love one another, we're together often, but for all people. It's not always easy to seek after good for all people, because we find that all people are in all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of troubles and all kinds of sin. It's not always easy, but that's one of the challenges. To always seek after that which is good for one another and all people. I hope you think about that this week. I'm going to be thinking about it. But then he comes to another always responsibility. These verbs are imperatives. They are given as a challenge and a command. This is the way Paul lays them out. Not an optional thing, not just a thought, but these are commands. Rejoice always. There's enough of us here tonight, even if there were two or three, it'd be the same, that everybody here has got something going on in your life. And it's not always easy to rejoice. But Paul makes this outrageous statement. Was he crazy? Was he out of his mind? Rejoice always. In the terrors of the night, rejoice always. in the troubles that have plagued you in your life, in your family, or in your personal life, forever it seems like, rejoice always. When it's a good day, rejoice always. When it's raining and when it's bad and when it's hard and when you're not yourself and circumstances don't seem to be going as they ought to, rejoice always. This is the Christian way. It is the way of the follower of Jesus to rejoice always, whatever circumstances come our way. This is what Paul is seeking to speak to, because he uses the phrase, rejoice always, always seek after that which is good. And then in verse 17, he doesn't say always, but he really means the same thing. Pray, I could say it this way, always. But he says pray without ceasing. Tonight, is there something in your life that you come to this place with that burdens you? And you have to say, because you're being honest with the Lord tonight, you haven't been able to rejoice in that. It's been hard. Well, here we have this opportunity. What happens when we rejoice always? It doesn't mean that we're pretending like things aren't real or that circumstances aren't bad or difficult. It is a mentality. It is a part of the fruit. It is part of the reality of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And the second part of that cluster of fruit is joy. Joy is not a silliness. We know that. I'm looking around here. I know who's here tonight. It's not a silliness of emotion. It is something deep inside that reminds us that no matter what is going on, it's all good with God. And it's all good with us. Joy. Rejoice always, my friends. Rejoice always in your circumstances and in your life. Always seek after that which is good for one another and for the people that you find along your way. And then pray. Seek that which is good. Rejoice. That's on the inside. It's not necessary that everybody even sees it. It's an inside quality of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. It is a part of that demeanor that the Lord puts in our lives as a result of the Holy Spirit's wonderful presence in our life and the love of God being poured out. When the love of God is poured out in our hearts, how can you not be joyful and rejoice? If you have only a few days, if you have many days, or whatever the circumstance may be, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. We often use this to think about, well, I'm going to pray in my car. I'm going to pray all the time. And that's true. But it is an expression that has to do with the way you think. As you think, you pray. As you're thinking and reflecting, you're praying and you're meditating, and all of your thoughts you bring captive to the obedience of Christ, and you speak them back to the Lord. You talk with the Lord about everything, and you talk to the Lord all the time. Now, when you do, we all know this, the Lord Jesus told us to find our closet. We do need our special times of prayer. We do need those special times with the Lord every day. But we pray without ceasing. We pray always. So Paul, you're leaving us and you're going to go on to do other missions. So what does it look like for us to be followers of Jesus? They didn't have the whole New Testament yet. Most of them had no idea about the Old Testament. You would think that this group of new followers of Jesus wouldn't make it very well. But you always make it when you have the Holy Spirit. So Paul, what do we do? Seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray and never stop praying. Pray when it's easy. Pray when it's hard. Pray when you want to. Pray when you don't want to. pray. And then, perhaps the most outrageous statement. You'd think he'd want to wait till these are mature Christians to give them this, but he gives it to them at the beginning. We could read it the same way. Always give thanks. But the way we read it and the way we all memorized it is this: in everything, give thanks. Wait a minute. In everything. We wish we could all know what tomorrow will bring, but we don't. We don't know how our day will end. We don't know what our day will be tomorrow. But we rejoice. We do good for those around us. That's our responsibility as a follower, to do good. We don't do bad. We do good. We're known as good deed doers. We want the best for people. Regardless of what they may want for us, we seek to do good for them. And we rejoice. We rejoice in everything. We rejoice in the circumstances around us. We rejoice in the state of our country. We rejoice in, just pick whatever you want. We rejoice. And we pray. And we keep rejoicing. And we keep doing good for others. And we pray. And we rejoice. And then we give thanks. Give thanks. In everything. Now that's enough of a challenge, but then he adds these stunning words: for this is God's will for you. The everything is God's will for you. Well, maybe the Lord forgot something and he put me through that. No. No accidents with the Lord. What you're going through is what God planned for you. What you're going through is what God planned for you. He didn't plan it for me. What I'm going through, he didn't plan for you. He planned it for me. It's the same for all of us. It is that wonderful thing that the Lord is doing in seeking to make us more like Jesus Christ, to bring us into conformity to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. We measure ourselves against Jesus, not one another. And so, Paul says, here's the foundation for a thankful life. You give thanks for everything. And you recognize that the Lord has permitted these things to come into your life because they're for you. When I always read verse number 18, my mind immediately goes to that wonderful verse. We all know it. We've all memorized it, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. We know they're not all good, but they all work together. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. And you are one of the Lord Jesus' people, and you've been called. And we've been called to go through all kinds of things. We have a way of wanting to map out our life. We have a way of wanting to engineer and control what happens in our life. I find that this is why the Lord allows these things to come in our life. Because he wants to break our hands and take our hands off of the controls. And let him, allow him to do what he wants. So we say things like, Lord, why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening in our church? As if God may have forgotten. He hasn't forgotten about you. You're one of his people, and he loves you. So tonight, let's think about always. Let's think about everything. And let's make it our goal this week, as best we can, to, in every circumstance we face this week, it's going to be hard for me. I'm trying to make this pledge to you. Hope you'll make this pledge. I'm going to do as best I can by the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to always seek that which is good for others. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it one of those things that the Lord said, that's for you, Mike. You need to go do that. I'm going to do by the help of the Holy Spirit and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to keep praying, bringing all these things to the Lord. And in everything, I'm going to give thanks. That's why we sing. Singing helps us. Steve leads us. Our people lead us. We sing. We praise. Singing helps us. It's not how you sing. It's that you sing. It's singing is helping. Singing is thanking. It's thanking. It's expressing in words that we have that we can read and take in as we sing them and as we speak them. We thank the Lord for all that He has allowed to come in our life. Think about, friend, all the things that have gone on in past days in your life, and look how the Lord brought them around. They didn't look good always. Sometimes they were very hard. So as your pastor tonight, this is the foundation of a thankful life. A life of seeking to do good always, rejoicing always, praying always. And when I sit down with my friends, I'm not griping. I'm being thankful. When I sit down, dear Pat doesn't need to hear me whine and bellyache and go on. No, she needs to hear thankfulness. You know, thankfulness is infectious. It makes other people want to be thankful. Just like being negative is infectious. Did you know? It's kind of like a disease. It spreads. But so does thankfulness. We have no idea what these dear people in Thessalonica were like, but we know Paul said that they shared the gospel, they lived for Jesus, and the power of the gospel went all around that whole region. What does it take to disciple somebody? Somebody who's lived a life of discipleship in front of them. So I say to all my adult friends who are here tonight, you know what the children need to see? You know what the students need to see? That we're always seeking to do good. That we're rejoicing always. That we're praying without ceasing. And that in everything, we're not complaining. We're thanking the Lord for His will in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight, and we thank You for the opportunity just for a few minutes to look at what Paul challenged these brand new followers of Jesus to do, and some of us have been following You for a long time. But tonight we must pause and say we haven't always rejoiced. Forgive us, Lord, when we've gone back. We've not always sought to do good for others. Forgive us, Lord, when we've thought to do evil to others and to hurt and to harm. Forgive us when we've not prayed as we ought to. We talk to everybody else, but we don't talk to You. How I ask that You'd put in the hearts of all these who are here tonight a thankfulness that rises above all their circumstances. And that in everything they face, they'll give thanks, knowing this is Your will for their life. But while we have our heads bowed and we're just seated comfortably, is there someone here tonight who needs to make a public decision? someone who needs to join this church, someone who needs to be saved, someone who needs to come.